Danados is dancing on my last fucking nerve. Between the petty comments he's been making all afternoon and what I'm sure he thinks are menacing glares, I'm ready to lean over and introduce his face to the Montserrat briefing table. But violence wouldn't like that. And as satisfying as it would be to hear his nose crunch against the polished wood, I'm not about to do anything that could end this little training session early and jeopardize Imogen's mission. Should her squad realize she isn't actually vomiting in the infirmary. Not that the healer will remember her ever being there, thanks to Imogen's handy little signet. If she's on schedule, she'll be on her way back from delivering the drop I brought with me. The thought makes me reinforce my shields, just in case Dane acts on the threat in his eyes. I'm not letting that fucker's hands anywhere near me.
So all we do is wait for something to happen?
By Dune, did Gamlin just put his dirty-ass boots on the briefing table?
Yes.
The older Sorengale sister answered from the head of the table to my left, then gestured with her right hand, knocking Gamlin on his ass with lesser magic.
And keep your feet off the table.
The taller of the riders stationed here updates the battle map behind Violet's sister. But his face falls quickly, his eyes narrowing with suspicion when he catches me watching him. I scratch my neck at the top of my collar, right over my relic, and hold his gaze until he drops it. Shit like that is why I keep my inconvenient feelings about Violet to my damn self. No matter how good she looks today, or how delectable she smells sitting next to me, like some kind of citrus that makes me want to bury my face in the side of her neck and see just how pink I can get her cheeks to flush. No. If I did that, every writer in this room would look at her differently, and not in a good way. Leave it to me to fall for the one woman on the continent I can never fucking have. Still, I put myself right between her and Liam, ignoring his knowing little smirk, when I took the chair closest to Violet. There's nothing going on here, but he can back the fuck up when I'm around.
Consider this your battle brief.
Gamlin scurries back into his chair at the foot of the table.
This morning was about a quarter of the patrol we'd regularly fly, so normally we'd just be getting back about now and reporting our findings to the commander. But for the sake of killing time, since we're in this room as the reaction flight for this afternoon, let's pretend we'd come across a newly fortified enemy outpost crossing our border.
She pivots to the map and marks a nearby location with a red flag.
Here.
Eidos is too busy glaring at me to look. So I settle back into my seat and do what I do best, stare right back.
We're supposed to pretend it just popped up overnight?
There is a little snark in Emery Barnes's tone, but I keep my attention on making Dane as uncomfortable as possible, just for fun.
For the sake of argument, third year.
Dane's hands curl into fists on the tabletop, and a corner of my mouth rises. He's pathetically easy to rile.
I like this game.
The shorter of the lieutenants stationed here leaned in excitedly to Mira's left side.
What would our objective be? Eidos?
Dane startles and jerks his focus to the map. I win.
What type of fortifications are there? Are we talking a haphazard wooden structure or something more substantial?
At least he asks good questions.
Like they had time to build a fortress overnight. It has to be wooden, right?
You are all so fucking literal.
Mira rubs at her forehead, like we're a headache she can't kick.
Fine. Let's say they occupied a keep that's already established, stone and all.
But the civilians didn't call for help? Protocol calls for a distress signal this far into the mountains. They would have lit their distress beacon.
Which means there would be civilians or possibly prisoners inside. Wide-scale dragon fire is out. Fine. Liam scouts out their defenses, then I drench the place in shadow for our assault. Half of us dismount while the other half takes out the griffins in the air, and I move in darkness below to free the prisoners while Emery directs controlled blasts of fire by air wielding, using Quinn as a scout. My mind runs through three other battle strategies, then stutters on a fourth as I glance in Violet's direction and catch her lips pursing in concentration. God, that mouth. I dream about that mouth. Fantasize about that mouth. That kiss is burned into my memory like a relic, taunting me with what will never happen again, with what I never should have tasted in the first place. I force my attention back to the briefing.
How many of you have been called out as third years?
Emery raises his hand and I lift a couple of fingers. Violet's eyebrows rise, but she stays quiet, just like she has been all afternoon. I crack open my shields just enough to sense that wispy silver bond that's been steadily growing between the two of us. But one she hasn't noticed yet.
I told you, it's been known to happen between the riders of bonded pairs.
And as Taryn told her, Sigale doesn't bother replying. Dane turns a shade that reminds me of a tomato.
That's not correct. We're never called into service until graduation.
I bite back a laugh and offer him a sarcastic thumbs up.
Yeah, all right. Just wait until next year. I can't count how many times we're the ones sitting in these very rooms in the Midland Forts because their riders have been called to the front for an emergency.
Eidos pales. If he knew half of what's actually happening beyond the borders, he'd probably pass out.
Now that's settled.
Mira sets a 6-inch model of a stone keep in the center of the table.
Catch.
She throws each of us a wooden replica of a dragon. Yours are better.
I know.
Liam grins, running his thumb over the chunky wings of the figure.
Pretend Messina and Exal don't exist back there, and we're the only squad available to take back that keep. Think of the power in this room. Think of what each individual rider brings to the table and how you'd use those powers in unison to conquer your objective.
But they don't teach that to first years.
Liam says it like he hasn't been taught battle strategy since we were kids. Llewellyn made sure of it once he took guardianship of us after the execution. Mira's gaze drops to the rebellion relic on Liam's wrist. And I lift my chin. They'd better get used to us being in rooms like this, because we're here to stay, at least until we get Orisha's forge up and running. Mira's gaze shifts to her little sister, her eyes flaring before focusing back on Liam. My chest tightens annoyingly. Whatever look Violet shot her sister, it was obviously in our defense. Damn if that doesn't hit me straight between the ribs.
They might not teach you this battle strategy as first years because you're all busy trying to stay on your dragons. You had your first taste of strategy during the squad battle, and it's almost May, which means final war games should be beginning, right?
2 weeks.
Dane needs to remind everyone he's still at the table.
Good timing, then. Not all of you will survive the games if you're not prepared.
Mira's gaze lingers on Violet long enough to prick my temper. Of all the people in this room, Mira should know how capable Violet is.
This kind of thinking will give your squad, your entire wing, an advantage. Since I guarantee your wing leader is already assessing every rider for their own abilities.
I roll the dragon figurine over my knuckles and keep my mouth shut, since I'm not supposed to be here.
So, let's do this.
Mira backs up, and I glance around the table. Curiosity settling my attention on Eidos.
Who's in command? And let's pretend that I don't have 3 years of seniority on even the highest ranked of you.
Then I'm in command.
Eidos sits up stiffly, like someone's called formation. To my credit, I don't laugh.
Our wing leader is here.
Liam points in my direction.
I would say that puts him in command.
The wispy silver bond solidifies. An emotion, pride, dancing down the pathway even though Violet doesn't move a muscle. Holy shit. We really are connected. This could be...
dangerous, reckless, an unaffordable distraction?
I swear I hear her teeth clash. Fun? There's no denying the bond between us when it's shining at me like a fucking mage light.
We can pretend I'm not here, just for the sake of the exercise.
I put my figurine on the table and settle in my chair. Then wrap my arm around the back of Violet's seat and enjoy the sight of Dane grinding his teeth.
Give Eidos here the position we all know he craves.
His jaw flexes, and I leave my arm planted like a battle marker. The command he can have. I'm mildly curious to see what he does with it, but that's the only position I'm ceding to the spoiled whiner.
Don't be a dick.
You haven't even seen me start to be a dick.
I send the words down the bond. Her head whips toward mine, her lips parting as she openly gawks at me. It worked. My heart stumbles and I bite back a laugh. I was wrong. This isn't just fun. It's instantly vital to my existence. I turn toward her, letting a corner of my mouth rise, and look straight into those hypnotic hazel eyes.
You're staring.
It's going to get awkward in about 30 seconds if you don't stop.
How?
The same way you talked to Sigale. We're all gloriously, annoyingly linked. This is just one of the perks. Though, I'm starting to wish I'd tried it sooner. The look on your face is priceless.
I wink and turn my attention back to the seething pot of jealousy boiling over across the table.
You're the wing leader.
I can't help but wonder if he's submitting to my rank or accusing me of inappropriate behavior with a subordinate. Not that I give a fuck either way. If it were safe for Violet, I'd be ecstatically guilty of inappropriate behavior, wickedly inappropriate. In my bed, in hers, on a table, in the archives, in the bathing chamber, in every room with a door to lock so no one else can see what's mine. I'd be so decadently inappropriate that her voice would turn hoarse from screaming my name every single day. But though she'd be the best thing that ever happened to me, I'd be the worst thing that ever happened to her. The truth of it sinks like a stone in my stomach.
I'm not even supposed to be here. But if it makes you feel better for the purpose of war games, you'd be getting your orders from your section leader, Garrick Tavis, which he'd get from me. You'll be carrying out your maneuvers as a squad for the good of the wing. Just pretend I'm another member of your squad and use me as you wish, Eidos.
I withdraw my hold on Violet's chair and cross my arms.
Why are you even here? No offense, sir, but we weren't exactly expecting senior leadership on this trip.
Yes, why are you here?
You're more than aware that Scale and Taryn are mated.
It was your idea to bring the daggers. I'm careful to only speak down Scale's bond.
It seemed a prudent course of action, considering your insufferable intolerance to being separated from the General's daughter.
3 days? You couldn't make it 3 days?
Insufferable. That's a bit far.
Where's Violet now? What is she doing? Is she thinking of me? Is she missing me? Is she getting closer to Eidos? Does she dream about that kiss? How many days until Violet is...
Point fucking taken. She's going to be unbearable on the flight home.
It has nothing to do with him.
Violet slams a dragon figurine on the table.
That's up to Taryn and Sigale.
And there she goes again, defending me. Fuck, I love this woman.
You never considered that it was you I couldn't stay away from?
Violet jabs the point of her elbow into my biceps, and I fight the upward curve of my mouth. I love that she isn't scared of me, that she'll call me out in a way no one else besides Sigale does. Everything she does, even blatantly elbowing me in front of her squad, turns me on. I'm fucked on every level known to man when it comes to Violet Sorengale.
Now, you'll give our little communication secret away if you can't keep from being so violent.
Of course you rushed to defend him. Though how you can forget that this guy wanted to kill you 6 months ago is beyond me.
He's not lying. But that was when I hated the idea of her, before I knew her, loved her.
I cannot believe you went there.
The hurt in her tone sets my teeth on edge.
Good job remaining professional, Eidos.
I scratch the relic on my neck to remind him exactly who the fuck I am.
Really shows those leadership qualities to their best advantage.
Do you boys just want to whip it out and measure? It would be faster.
I shoot Liam a sideways look.
Enough!
Oh, come on, Sorengale.
Both Sorengales glance the writer's way.
I mean, the older Sorengale. This is the best entertainment we've had in ages.
Violet shakes her head, clearly having had enough.
Mira has the ability to extend the shields if the wards are down, so the first thing I would do is send her to scout the area with Tyne. We need to know if we're dealing with infantry or Griffin Riders.
Excellent point. I hadn't considered Mira in my own calculations.
Good.
Mira sets her dragon close to the castle.
Now, let's assume there are Griffins.
Speaking of Griffins, any news from Glaine?
Still out of range.
Sending Imogen an hour south toward the Breivik border was a calculated risk given that I hadn't had much time to get a message to Serena and her drift. But rendezvousing there was a far better choice than risking her being caught by Cygnus flyers. Cygnus flyers would take the daggers and then kill Imogen to make a point. Stubborn assholes.
You want to do your job?
Violet's smile practically drips venomous sugar as she turns it on Dane.
I mean, how you can forget you're the squad leader is beyond me.
Fucking love her. His knuckles whiten around his figurine.
Quinn, can you astral project from the back of your dragon?
Yes.
Then I would have you project into the fortress to check for signs of weakness and have you report back. Same with Liam. We'd use your farsight to see if you can locate where the Griffin Riders are and if there are any traps.
Good. The weaknesses are the wooden gate.
The two cadets move their figurines.
And the Navarian citizens they have captive in the dungeons.
So much for blasting the whole place.
You're an air wielder, right, Emery? So you can shape your dragon's flames, lead them through the occupied parts of the keep without killing civilians.
Yes, but I'd have to be in the keep.
Hmm? Then you'll have to get into the keep.
Mira's shoulders rise and fall in a shrug.
You want me to leave my dragon and go on foot?
Why do you think we get all that hand-to-hand training? Or are you going to leave all those innocent people to die?
Mira flicks her wrist and Emery's dragon goes flying up into the air. Mira catches it and sets it in the center of the model.
The real question is, how do we get you close enough without getting you killed? Since I'm guessing the others will be busy fighting off the griffins that launch once the fireworks start.
What's your signet, Eidos?
Above your pay grade.
Does he actually think that? Or is he so brainwashed by Daddy that he doesn't see they're going to use him as a weapon against other riders? He looks at every cadet except me, then finished with...
Any ideas?
Violet shakes her head.
Sure.
She snatches my dragon and pushes it at the keep, flaring her hand so the figurine levitates above the model. I shouldn't be impressed. It's just lesser magic. But damn, she's sexy when she takes charge.
You stop ignoring that you have an incredibly powerful shadow wielder at your disposal and ask him to black out the area so no one sees you land.
Spot on.
She's not wrong.
You can do that?
Eidos slowly looks in my direction.
Are you seriously asking?
I reach for Sigale's power, and it pours into my veins.
Just wasn't sure you could cover an area that low.
I lift my palms just enough to clear the table and summon the cooling darkness of the shadows. They stream out from under the table and blanket the room in less than a heartbeat, devouring all traces of light. Panic skitters down the silver bond.
Relax. It's just me.
I crook a finger, and a strand of shadow solidifies to skim along Violet's cheek.
Fuck me.
I can surround this entire outpost, but I think that might freak some people out.
I close my hands, and the shadows jolt back to natural state, letting light pour in through the windows. Damn, that was fun. It was even worth the threat assessment I'm getting from Mira. Violet tenses like she spotted it too.
I hope you didn't get any ideas while we were in the dark there.
She lifts her middle finger without even looking my way. Mira leads us through the rest of the exercise.
Good job. Eidos, Ryerson, and Sorengale, I want to see you in the hallway. The rest of you are dismissed.
This should be fun. She leads the way, then shuts the door behind us once we're in the staircase and throws a blue wave of energy over the doorway. It's an interesting use of power, when I'm more than capable of constructing a colorless one for the sake of privacy.
Sound shield. Nice.
What a suck up.
Shut up.
Mira pivots a few steps above me, one above Violet, and shoves a finger in Eidos's face.
I don't know what bug has crawled up your ass, Dane Eidos, but have you forgotten that you're a squad leader? That you have a very real chance of becoming a wing leader next year?
Gods help every cadet if that happens. Violet retreats a step in my direction and my brow furrows. Sibling dynamics are something I'll never understand.
Mira—
Lieutenant Sorengale. You're blowing it, Dane. I know how badly you want his job next year.
She swings that finger toward me.
Don't forget that we've grown up about 10 feet apart. And you are blowing it. Because what? You're pissed that Violet bonded his dragon's mate?
Harsh, but I respect her candor.
He is the worst possible thing for her.
Huh. Guess we actually agree on something.
Oh, I'm not arguing that. But there's nothing anyone can do about the choices of dragons. They don't bother with the opinions of mere humans, do they? But whatever is going on between the two of you...
Her finger flies between Violet and Eidos.
...is fucking up your squad. If I can see it after 4 days with you, then they sure as hell can tell. And if I'd known that you were going to be such a hard ass with zero flexibility for the things she can't control, I never would have told her to find you after crossing the parapet. You two have been best friends since you were 5 years old. Figure your shit out.
Dane stiffens, then looks Violet's way and nods, when she returns. An irrational, ugly feeling sours my stomach. They have the kind of history that lingers. The kind that has me really contemplating the word jealousy.
Glane approaches from the south. They were successful.
Thank you. Now to get Imogen to the infirmary. And no one will realize she'd even been missing.
Good. Now get back in there.
Mira nods toward the door, and Dane departs, heading through the shield.
And as for you...
She descends two stairs and narrows her eyes on me.
Is this what she can expect next year?
Eidos being an asshole?
I keep my hands off my weapons. Killing Mira might appease the burning need for revenge I've learned to live with. But it's not worth upsetting Violet. Or dealing with the oldest Sorengale sibling, either.
Probably.
Mira glares at me. And the resemblance to her mother is uncanny.
Mated dragons typically bond riders in the same year for a reason. You cannot expect your assigned wing or her instructors to let you both fly off every 3 days.
Wasn't my choice.
I shrug. Lying is easy. Except when it comes to Violet. I haven't quite figured that one out yet.
What are we supposed to do, Mira? Tell the giant flame-throwing dragons how it's going to be?
Yes! Because you can't live this way, Violet. You'll be the one who ends up missing the training you need because he's the more powerful of the two of you right now. But if you don't get to focus on your training, then that's how it will always be. You won't ever become who Taryn can push you to be. Is that what you're after, Ryerson?
My gut twists with anger and power rushes through me. Fuck it. Violet would get over her sister's death eventually.
Mira, you're wrong about him.
Only in some ways. The beating organ behind my ribs soothes the anger. And my power recedes.
Listen to me. He might wield shadows, Violet, but give him his way and you'll become one.
And the power races back in. Shadows pulsing at the edges of the stairwell. I'm the one pushing Violet instead of babying her. If Eidos had his way, she'd be smothered in cream robes.
That won't happen.
It will if he has anything to say about it.
Mira pins a look on me that I don't appreciate.
Killing someone isn't the only way to destroy them. Keeping you from reaching your potential seems like a great path to the retribution he swore against our mother. Think long and hard. How well do you even really know him?
Violet's swift intake of breath slices like a knife to my side.
That's what I thought.
Mira's expression softens. And I wait to see if she's going to take the Dane route.
Do you even know why he hates our mother so much? Why the kids like him are put on the parapet?
I'm right here.
Oh, fuck no. She isn't ready to hear half of what their mother did to me. I step up the Violet side.
In case you didn't notice.
You're kind of hard to miss.
You're not listening. I am here. Taryn didn't drag her back to Besgaeth. He didn't break through her shields and pour his emotions into her. He didn't demand she fly across the fucking kingdom. Your sister is still right here. I'm the one who left my post, my position, and my executive officer in charge of my wing. She's not missing out on shit.
The truth of the words sting. I might be accomplishing a very risky run, but Sigale is right. We're here because I couldn't concentrate for shit knowing that Violet was this close to the border. I chose Violet over my wing.
And next year? When you're a brand new lieutenant, what shit is she going to miss out on then?
Yeah, fuck if I know. At this rate, they'll have to station me at Besgaeth if I can't get my shit under control and get over.
Love isn't something you get over. Why do you think I flew you all the way out here?
To mock me while cavorting with your mate.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't without its perks.
We'll figure it out.
Violet grabs Mira's hand.
Mira, he's taken every spare minute he has to train me on the mat for challenges, or take me flying in hopes I'll finally figure out how to keep my damn seat without Taryn holding me in place. He's...
You can't keep your seat?
Oh, shit.
No.
How the hell can you not?
Fuck. What are the rules when it comes to interfering with sisters? Am I supposed to step in? Let Violet handle it? Llewellyn let Liam and me beat the shit out of each other when we fought, but I'm not sure that's the right approach here. I'm also not about to infantilize Violet when her sister is doing a damned good job of it herself.
Because I'm not you!
But you look so much stronger now.
My joints and muscles are stronger because Imogen makes me lift these horrible weights, but that doesn't fix me.
Violet's shoulders drop, and the shadows pulse at the edges of the steps.
No, I didn't mean it like that, Vi. You're not anything that needs to be fixed. I just didn't know you couldn't hold your seat. Why didn't you tell me?
Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Violet's smile is anything but happy.
There's nothing anyone can do about the way I'm made.
The way she's made? She's fucking perfect. Everything about her is what makes her Violet. When the silence grows awkward, my power ebbs.
She's getting better. The first few weeks were disastrous.
Hey, he caught me before I hit the ground.
Violet shoots me a not helpful look.
Barely.
Then I rip my gaze from Violet to face down her sister.
You don't have to trust me.
Good, because I don't. All of that power in the hands of someone with your history is bad enough. But to know your dragons are so tangled up that you can't be more than 3 days from Violet is unacceptable in every possible way I can think. Oh.
She freezes, her eyes going unfocused. Unnatural quiet falls and unease ripples down my spine at the lack of the steady, quiet hum of background noise that always accompanies proximity to stored power. My stomach clenches. The wards are down.
Drift incoming from the east.
Ugh, let me guess, they're not friendly. My gaze shoots to the top of the steps. I could have Violet on the ramparts in 30 seconds or less.
Definitely not.
Fuck, the wards are down.
Mira grabs Violet into a hug.
You have to go.
We can help.
Is this us?
Wards will only fall this quickly if the power supply is compromised. Or stolen.
No.
Which means we have enemies within the keep already.
You can't. And if Tarn is using his power to keep you seated, then he's diminished as well. You have to go. Get out of here. If you love me, Violet, you'll go, so I don't have to worry about you, too.
Western Rampart.
Violet needs to be airborne, now.
Where do you think we're already headed? And you'd better be there with her.
The squad races out of the briefing room and hurries down the steps as Mira releases Violet and pins me with a look that's equal parts order and desperation.
Get her out of here.
My head rears back. Did she just tell me to go with her? Fuck that.
Let's go, now.
Even if you don't trust me, I'm the best weapon you have.
If what you say is true, then you're the best weapon she has. The other half of the squad will be here in moments, and Tyne thinks we have about 20 minutes until the Griffins arrive.
Her expression shifts to a quick but blatant plea before turning to her sister.
You have to get to safety, Violet. I love you. Don't die. I'd hate to be an only child.
I can get Violet out and track down whoever brought down the wards.
If you stay, so will she. And need I remind you what happens to us all if she's killed while you're off proving your acumen?
Fuck. Every instinct but one demands I fight. But it's that lone, sharply insistent slice of intuition screaming to keep Violet safe above all else that quickly conquers every other impulse. I breathe in sharply, then exhale pure frustration, mentally shifting to a new plan as I whip my arm around Violet's waist and pull her against my side.
No!
She flat out fights me as Mira sprints up the stairs to the roof. Violet throws her body weight against my grip, but I hold fast.
Mira! What if you get hurt? Tarn's speed could be the only thing that saves you. At least let us stay!
Mira pivots to the doorway to face us.
You want me to trust you, Ryerson? Get her the fuck out of here! And find a way for her to keep her seat. We both know she's dead if she doesn't.
I nod, and shift my grip on Violet's waist, locking my elbow around the delicate curve, and haul her ass down the stairs.
Mira!
Violet rakes her nails along my forearm.
I love you!
Her cry rips into my very soul. But I'm not risking her life, even for her sister. Shadows race ahead of us, pouring over the steps. If anyone is coming up this direction, I'll know before they so much as see us.
Close yet?
We turn the curve into the barracks hall.
Not quite. Glane has rerouted as well.
Good. Gives us enough time for me to get my pack. If anyone finds the alloy-hilted dagger I keep stored there, I'm fucked.
Can I trust you to get your own pack?
I set her on her feet.
Or am I going to have to carry you out of here without whatever you brought?
I'll get it myself!
She pushes at me, and I release my grip. 2 seconds later, she slams the door to the room she shares with Matthias in my face, and I head into mine just down the hall. Finding Liam standing with his arms folded in the center of my room, his pack strapped to his back.
Was it us?
It's more accusation than question. No. I shove what few belongings I brought into my pack.
Was it us?
He stands in my way when I turn for the door. Like he could actually stop me from leaving if he wanted to.
No.
I look him straight in the eye. I already asked Sigale. We have no operations in the area.
Except what Imogen pulled off today.
This wasn't us, Liam. You know I'd never risk civilian casualties by taking down an entire outpost. Imogen carried 24 daggers across the border. But even that amount of power wouldn't be enough to affect an outage like this. I sheathe my swords in the scabbard sewn into my pack, then swing it onto my back.
This isn't on us.
No. I shake my head, then clasp his shoulder. Get to the roof. We need to mount.
I'll get Vi.
I've got her. I drop my hand and walk past him. She's not exactly in favor of leaving. Now go. We split at the hallway, and Violet keeps me waiting less than a minute before barreling through her door carrying 2 packs and avoiding my gaze as she marches toward the door that leads to the courtyard. I catch her elbow and spin her to face the correct direction.
Nope, it's too dangerous to leave the fortress walls. We're going up.
I hook my arm around her waist before she can even think about fighting me, then carry her to the crowded stairwell before setting her down.
Climb.
This is bullshit.
Her cheeks flush as she narrows her eyes on me. Members of her squad pushing past.
Taryn could help them.
And she could die in the process. My resolve hardens to stone.
Your sister is right. You have to make it out, so we're leaving. Now fucking climb.
Or so help me, Dune. I will throw her over my damn shoulder right in front of everyone.
Dane!
Her gaze swings to the squad leader just ahead of us, like he's any fucking use right now. He takes Matthias's pack from Violet.
For once, Ryerson and I agree. It's not just you we have to get out, Violet. Think of every other first year. Are you going to sentence an entire untrained squad to death? Because I'll make it. Sienna, Emery, and Heaton will too. And we all fucking know Ryerson will, but what about Rhiannon, Riddick, Sawyer? You want their deaths on your hands?
Is it just me? Or is he already out of breath as we climb through the third floor and out onto the roof? Emery mounts ahead of us on the annoyingly narrow rampart. The design is great for preventing flyers from doing the same, but it's not doing us any favors at the moment.
Riddick and Quinn are already in the air.
Liam watches Emery launch on his own club tail. I spot Day next to Kath, hovering with shallow beats of their wings.
You're next, Liam.
Thankfully, for our time's sake, Dane agrees, which means I don't have to kill him. Chunks of masonry tumble to the bailey below as Day lands. Liam wastes no time, taking the rampart at a run just like we'd practiced hundreds of times in Llewellyn.
You next, Eidos.
My gaze rakes the sky for any sign of Taryn.
Coming behind you.
The surly behemoth deigns to speak to me.
She's not going to like the method.
Vi,
that's an order.
Just because I loathe the simpering daddy's boy doesn't mean I want to be responsible for the death of a younger cadet. Plus, I can't afford Eidos Sr. making my life hell.
I've got her. Go.
Go.
Eidos turns my way and offers me his best impression of a threatening glare.
I'm trusting you to get her out.
I don't have time for this bullshit.
There's a lot of that going around today. Now get on your dragon so I can get her on hers.
He heads down the rampart toward Kath, but he's nowhere as fast as Liam.
What method isn't she going to like?
I choose the pathway that excludes Violet the same way he had.
I'm going to have to scoop her up. It won't be her most dignified moment.
Oh, she's going to love that.
I can't do this.
Violet twists in my grip, turning those hazel eyes on me.
The others are gone. Call it the favor you owe me. I don't care. We can stay.
I can't just leave her here. It's wrong, and it's something she'd never do to me. I have to stay for her. I just have to.
Fuck. I get it. I really do. Liam and Bodhi are the closest things I have to siblings. And I wouldn't leave with their lives on the line either. This isn't Liam or Bodhi. It's her. And we aren't at Basgaiath. That approaching drift and whoever is responsible for compromising the power supply for the wards will kill her if given the chance. And that's not something I'll ever let happen. But damn, her courage has me tripping over my feelings for her.
Approaching.
Not fast enough.
Violet isn't going to leave of her own accord. I see it in her eyes, feel it in the tense lines of her back. I drop my shields, and her emotions hurtle down the bond. Determination, fear. She's going to bolt, and there's only one way to stop her. I lift my hands from her waist to the velvet soft skin of her cheeks, memorizing every color in her eyes as I cup the back of her neck, preparing to commit what she'll think is an unforgivable sin. I kiss her. It's hard and raw, wild and desperate. And the way she opens for me, kissing me back with abandon, nearly takes me out at the knees. Gods, I'll never get enough of this woman. Her mind, her tenacity, her mouth. I kiss her like this might be the last time she'll let me. Like this is an alternate reality, and there's a chance she could love me back. I kiss her like she's mine. It's a stolen moment. It could never be anything more, but it's ours. Wing beats approach and I ignore them, stroking my tongue against hers again and again, keeping my hands at the nape of her neck by sheer force of will, denying the urge to explore every curve, every hollow of her tight body. I've never wanted anyone the way I want her. Never craved a woman's laugh as much as her touch, or needed her trust more than my next breath. Only Violet. I tear my mouth away. The steady pulses of wings undeniable as Taryn and Sigale approach. Wind gusts, catching the loosened strands of her hair as I lean my forehead against hers. Leave for me, Violet. She stiffens, accusation filling her eyes so quickly that I know she's figured out that I just use our attraction to distract her.
I will hate you for this.
Ouch. Yeah, I nod, accepting the consequences of my actions.
I can live with that.
I can live with anything as long as she's still breathing. So I drop my hands to her arms and force them out of her sides.
Arms up, hold tight.
Fuck you.
A shadow falls over us and I hit the floor, catching myself with my hands as a black claw fills the space I just occupied, hooking Violet's arms and snatching her into the sky. She'll never forgive me. Sigale lands on the narrow perch ahead of me.
Especially if something happens to her sister.
She tilts her head, staring at me with typical impatience as I launch to my feet and sprint down the rampart toward her. We're airborne in seconds, her wings pummeling the air before I even reach the seat.
If she can't forgive you for the least of your transgressions, then she doesn't deserve you.
I don't think she'll see it that way. I get a good grip on her scales and settle in for the flight.
Then you'd better start praying to your gods that her sister survives.
Empyrean Book 1, Fourth Wing Bonus Chapters, written by Rebecca Yaros, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2023 by Rebecca Yaros. All rights reserved, including the right to reproduce, distribute, or transmit in any form or by any means. Recorded by arrangement with Entangled Publishing, LLC. Production copyright 2025 Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Gabriel Michael as Zayden Ryerson, with additional performances by Kaya Freitz as Violet Soaringale, Laura C. Harris as Mira Soaringale, Stephanie Nevitt Parker as Sigale, Torian Brackett as Dane Atos, Rainer Gabriel as Garrick, Ryan Haugen as Emery, Lamont Rigel as Tern, Rob Marrera as Riddick, Sarah Ruth Thomas as Quinn, Jessica Schley as Imogen, Kay Alluvian as General Melgren, Marnie Penning as General Lilith Soaringale, also with Tyler Herchuk and Alejandro Ruiz. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Scott McCormick. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Justin Wirtz. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you want more full cast audio romanticy, keep listening for samples of the Zodiac Academy series by Caroline Peckham and Suzanne Valenti, and the Blood and Ash series by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Both available now in soaring graphic audio.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romanticy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social media platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.